first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I understand you had some dead air. I will try to correct that. We apologize for any confusion. For those of you who are new to the show, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the phone numbers. For you guys in the listening queue, please hit the number 1 on your dial pad and we will get to you as soon as possible. In the meantime, welcome to the Ed Springston Show. A lot going on in the world today. We will start, we'll start right here. High-profile defense attorney in Louisville, by a gentleman by the name of Frank Mascagni, criminal defense lawyer, was arrested. Yeah, you guessed it. He wasn't arrested for anything stupid like a DUI. He was arrested for not doing what he was supposed to do, the court ordered him to do with an IRS summons. He was arrested for failing to comply with an IRS summons that ordered him to turn over his tax returns or some other related documents that include the years 2006 to 2012. It was an administrative subpoena from the IRS. He had been told over and over and over to comply. Apparently, he chose not to. And, you know, Justice Department trial attorney Stephen Josie basically told the judge, you know, it's time to arrest the guy. He had been told over and over that if he didn't comply and release this information by December the 2nd, an arrest warrant would be signed and issued, and it was. What all this is about, we don't know. It involves the IRS, but I thought that was an interesting story considering who it involved with Frank Mascagni. And Frank Mascagni, of course, says he will comply. He's very surprised that he was arrested, and he has hired Scott Cox and another lawyer to try to help him with it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one develops going forward, because I'm really curious to see what was going on. In the meantime, we have a little hissy fit, if you will, developing between a couple of ex-prosecutors here in the state. We've got an interesting situation here for the fact that former Commonwealth Attorney Mark Murphy, you know, has been talking about the failure of grand juries to indict white police officers in the deaths of blacks in Missouri and New York. You know, I hate the language. I'm getting sick of this whole white-black dynamic. If we want to talk about the failure of grand juries to indict police officers, fine. If you want to make that your point of contention, go ahead. Argue till you're blue in the face. I don't always agree, and I don't always disagree. There are times that I think the grand jury got it right, like in the case of Michael Brown. He should have been, the officer should have gotten away with that. Darren Wilson didn't do anything wrong. Mike Brown was a thug and a scumbag punk, but not because he was black, because of who he was and what he did. You know, and it's the same thing with Eric Garner. I thought that the grand jury should have at least, you know, come back with something for some kind of admonishment, if you will, from the grand jury in the Eric Garner case in New York. We haven't gotten anything. So, you know, we look at this, but let's quit talking about grand juries refusing to indict white police officers and quit using this white-black dynamic. This is nothing more than a liberal agenda trying to keep us divided further, divide us by race, divide us by anything they can, and I'm really sick of it. But in this case, the story is, the former Commonwealth Attorney Mark Murphy suggested the police got off in both of those instances because the prosecutor was with them the whole time. And he suggests that special prosecutors should be appointed in these type of cases. You know, ex-Commonwealth Attorney Dave Stengel right here in Jefferson County in Louisville said that Murphy's conclusion was offensive. You know, and tried to dare say that he didn't know what he was doing by adding that if you had been in office longer, you would know that. Stengel beat Murphy in a 1996 primary. It's disgusting that Dave Stengel thinks he can talk about anything to anybody as a former Commonwealth attorney. Dave Stengel has no credibility. He wanted to go on and add, and this is a Courier Journal article, which is nothing new. This is what they do. But Stengel wanted to go on and say that, you know, he directed a grand jury in 2004 that indicted white police officer Mackenzie Mattingly in the fatal shooting of black teen Michael Newby, once again making race the situation here. Michael Newby was a thug, punk, scumbag who tried to rip off Mattingly when he was undercover. So, let's not get this white-black dynamic. And by the way, Officer Mackenzie was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. Nobody wants to talk about that, but Dave Stengel wants to act like he's this big, bad, you know, above board king ex-Commonwealth's attorney. Dave Stengel is no good. Dave Stengel is nothing more than a political hack, and I think he proved that on more than one occasion, the most notable of which, and I'll give you two cases. One was one I was directly involved in. I've got all the evidence in the world to get an indictment against Jim King during the case that I presented with him. They brought in a special prosecutor for this. And the special prosecutor, Hart McGibbon, flat out said he could guarantee 100% indictment against Jim King. But since he could not guarantee a 100% conviction against Jim King, he recommended it through his special prosecutor's report that they don't indict. Jim King is a great friend of Dave Stengel. They're political buddies. They're political allies. Jim King at King Southern Bank owns a mortgage on Dave Stengel's farm. So this was nothing more than political patronage. And this is somebody that's above board who thinks he has the right to talk about another prosecutor? That's not the worst of it, folks. He also tried to lie and cover up his own assistant Commonwealth attorney, Matt Conway's, drug use. He tried to lie about all of that. There was no action taken in that case. None at all. Jack Conway, the Attorney General of Kentucky, Matt Conway's brother, was implicated as being involved in some sort of a cover-up. There were no repercussions against either one of them. So for Dave Stengel to sit here and try to pretend that he is some kind of an authority or anything else, trying to keep himself relevant, you know, is ridiculous to me. It's ridiculous to me. Now, do we want to talk about possibility of special prosecutors with grand juries when it involves police shootings? Let's open that discussion. I've got no problem with opening the discussion. Call us, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. Hit the number one on your dial pad, folks. I mean, if you want to talk about do we need a special prosecutor, let's do it. Because in my opinion, I don't think it matters whether you have a special prosecutor here in Jefferson County anyway. I don't think it matters here in Kentucky. Because as far as I'm concerned, all I have seen out of these Commonwealth attorneys, all the way up to the Attorney General's office himself, and out of the county attorney's office as well here in Jefferson County, I've seen nothing but political patronage, and the entire offices are being run politics first, the law second. So here in Kentucky anyway, at least in Jefferson County, right here in Louisville, if you want to bring a special prosecutor into the case, you're not going to get any relevant results. You're just not. That's just the way it works here. Special prosecutor brought in from Nelson County, John Flood, a convicted felon, worked for IPL here in Louisville, brought in a special prosecutor, had John Flood dead to rights on perjury, finally get him out of government. What does he do? Makes a plea deal, lets John Flood retire. Less than 2 years later, John Flood comes back and is rehired at IPL. Now we've got a convicted felon, a convicted thief felon, working in a Louisville Metro accounting office. How does that happen? Because of inside politics to save these people. So does a special prosecutor, is he really going to make a difference when you present a case of an officer shooting, you know, any suspect? In any event, it doesn't matter. Bringing a Nelson County prosecutor doesn't matter. Shelby County prosecutor, like in my situation with King, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the special prosecutor is. If they're connected and they have to worry about politics, they're not going to get anything done anyway. What really needs to be done here, in my opinion, is let's start looking at civilian review boards. Let's start getting the general public involved in these decisions. For example, the Internal Affairs Department with LMPD or any other police office. Police policing police is not going to be an answer to fix any problems whatsoever. We need a civilian review board to get involved. We need people like you and me to look at the available evidence and see if anything further is necessary. That's what we need. We need an oversight committee. If the special prosecutors and everybody else are not going to go and get indictments or anything else against officers because the grand juries are rigged, as some believe they are, or the special prosecutors are going to play politics for their next vote, then we need to find a different way, a different avenue to address the problems. So I want you guys to think about that, because this really, truthfully, just brought up just another damn thing I'm getting sick of talking about. And, of course, we've got Aubrey Williams. He of course, is screaming and hollering about this, you know, that because the local prosecutors have to have the police unions to get elected, that that's the problem. Well, you know what? Aubrey Williams may have a point there, all right? But Aubrey Williams is not the guy to make it. And I tell you why, because Aubrey Williams deals with racism all the time. Case in point, when Barbara Shanklin was brought up before the Council on Charters, he tried to make it all about race. This was nothing but the racist white council trying to kick her out of office. It's disgusting. That race card is used continually in just about everything, and we're continuing to use it here, so we're not going to be able to get the answers we want or the solutions we're begging for when it comes to holding police accountable. You could walk into a grand jury and say that Ed Springsteen, you know, blew BBs through a straw at a stranger he never knew without a witness, and they'll indict my ass. You know that's true. That's the way it works. So we've got to find a way to get control, but paying extra money for special prosecutors is just going to cost the taxpayer money for nothing. While I agree that something needs to be done, while I agree with former Commonwealth Attorney Mark Murphy that, you know, we do have a serious disconnect the way the grand juries, you know, come back on certain police officers, and I think we do. I just don't think a special prosecutor is the answer. We have to find a better way. We really, really do. And quite frankly, you know, I've been told over and over and over by so many attorneys that to even get a conviction in a court of law against an officer is almost impossible. It's almost impossible to hold a cop accountable for bad action. It's almost impossible. Because even when you get to court, a jury wants to believe, I mean, we are all predisposed to believe that maybe the police really are the good guys and they all wear white hats. And I agree that most of them do. I'm not disputing that at all. But for the few bad apples that do get to court, typically they're off anyway. Because the juries typically want a side due to this, you know, this brain thing that we've got going on, that the man in blue, the man with the badge, is the good upright citizen, so anybody he had a problem with had to be bad. And it's hard to overcome that when you go to trial. So, you know, we have to look at a lot of these things, but there are better ways to do it. We just have to find a way to make it happen. So that's one of the stories we're looking at today. You know, Insider Louisville, God bless them, man. I tell you what, Joe Sokka did a great job over at Insider Louisville. He put out a story to let us know something that we in Kentucky already know. It's not really that hard to figure out. But Joe Sokka did a story and pointed out a Harvard study. Yep, Harvard decided to do a study to determine which states were the most corrupt in the country. Kentucky came in as number two, most corrupt state in the country. Now, what makes this study interesting is this study didn't just, you know, this study didn't use what the feds like to use. They like to use the federal conviction rate. So you take a politician, and if they get convicted in court, then that's the only standard that they typically use for these kind of studies. Well, these two particular professors at Harvard decided they were going to study, and their study included surveying hundreds of news and investigative reporters that cover state politics, like ours, for example. Anyway, they looked at these reporters. They were surveying their news stories, surveying the reporters, asking the reporters' opinions, you know, on legal and illegal corruption. And there's a key difference here. In the executive, legislative, judicial branches, they were asked to rate on a scale of 1 to 5. Kentucky was one of only two states to receive the highest ranking of 5 for what we call legal corruption. And here's where it gets interesting. Legal corruption is basically where you're giving tax breaks and tax incentives, and that money is coming back to the candidate and the politician for campaign expenses and to get reelected. I mean, that's essentially what you're looking at. Kentucky is ranked, you know, one of the worst for illegal corruption as well. That's, you know, getting private gains in exchange for providing specific benefits. I mean, you know, let's think about all of this stuff, folks. How many times do we have to look at the payoffs? You know, how many people were caught in the transportation department receiving payoffs and illegal compensation and things like that? When you look at all of these things in play, You know, we don't have illegal corruption. We also have legal corruption. It's no wonder we're number two in the country. We're ranked as the fifth worst state in the country. We're ranked in the top five for the most unhappy thing. Well, I think all of this is even more evidence that these studies that Greg Fish and everybody else deny are very, very true. Paul, you're on the air.
You know, Ed, I find it a little ironic that Harvard has decided to compile a list of the most corruption in each state. As I recall, it wasn't too long ago that former Kentucky Secretary of State Trey Grayson was appointed to a position up in Harvard. And I also believe that there's been a number of prominent Kentucky politicians. One of the most notable ones, I believe, was Jerry Abramson, who have participated in a wide variety of programs offered by the Harvard Kennedy School. Okay.
Yep.
Now, your story today could be taken a couple of different ways. Number one, Harvard is saying, we know there's corrupt politicians out there, and we've got a great school for people to come to learn how to do it the right way.
Before you go further, I want to point this out. Hang on. Before you go, I want to point this out. There's a reason for it. Because we had testimony yesterday, all right, up on the Hill, by Jonathan Gruber, MIT professor Jonathan Gruber, on the Obamacare stuff, right? And I've never seen such poorly conceived lies in my life. But the reason I interrupted you is because you're going to say that this could be a pattern of behavior where they teach you how to be crooked. Jonathan Gruber's education was Harvard. He never attended MIT. He works there as a professor, but his degree is from Harvard. So it may go all the way up. Go ahead, man. I just wanted to point that out. Go ahead. I apologize.
Well, yeah, you kind of jumped in on my second point, and that is Harvard is either saying we're the solution or they're kind of implying the problem because of the way they train the current crop of corrupt politicians. Many Kentucky politicians have attended a variety of offerings up at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. And so I don't know how to take that, Ed, because I just kind of find it a little amusing. And it's also a little disconcerting to think that Harvard has put themselves in a position where they're the final judge of what is corruption and what is not, when in fact the politicians from Kentucky that touch base with them, they don't seem to get any less corrupt. So you tell me what all this means.
Well, you make some good points here. You really do. But I tell you, I just find it fascinating when you talk about everybody that's involved in Harvard, like Trey Grayson, Jerry Abramson, and a whole host of others. And you look at Jonathan Gruber, who is the latest on the hot seat now, you know, for all the problems that went on with Obamacare. When you look at this from the lowest level here in Louisville all the way up to the highest level in the nation with Obamacare, there does seem to be a link to the Ivy League schools, primarily Harvard, and secondary to that, I would say Yale. And it's very, very interesting because, you know, when you get to your second point, you know, is this a pattern of behavior and do they really have the authority to make this decision? The reason that I thought that this report in this study was a good one coming out of Harvard, because I typically don't like to even use Harvard as an example. But the reason that I felt that this may have relevance is because the criteria that they used, according to what they put out there publicly, their study was measuring corruption based on the perception of media experts and based on going through hundreds of news and investigative reports in each state. So this wasn't a situation where, you know, they pick and choose data. This was they do for any study, obviously, but this was based on all the news reports and all the reporters involved in each state. So that means the media in Kentucky ranked us 5 on a 5 scale as the most corrupt. And we backed it up with the news stories and the investigative reports that have been done out of Kentucky. And quite frankly, I've done quite a few of those of my own, as you know. So, you know, I'm one of those investigative guys. So That's the only reason I use this criteria, because it wasn't subjective to federal convictions and all the other stuff that are so easily manipulated. This was essentially a report and a study done based on the peers in the news media. And considering in Kentucky, you know, the majority of our news media is the liberal media who always covers for these guys, that just made it a secondary reason to bring it up. What do you think?
Well, you're right about the Kentucky media by and large. They protect the status quo. Harvard is clearly the status quo. So, I have to question, why does Harvard even care about such when, in fact, they're training the very people that are going out among here in the nation and becoming those very corrupt people that they're now claiming exist in large numbers? I'm trying to figure out, what is it that Harvard hopes to gain out of all of this? More recruits to how to be a better crook? You know, I don't
you know,
know
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe they're looking for notoriety. Why they would need to do that, I don't know. Maybe they're trying to you know, limit, you know, the amount or the way people perceive Harvard. Because, like I said, Jonathan Gruber is on a hot seat right now. It's a major national story, and he's a professor at MIT. But it's very, very common knowledge. It was even offered in testimony, you know, for Jonathan Gruber himself live on C-SPAN. That, you know, he graduated from Harvard and never attended MIT other than being an instructor there. So, you know, maybe this is part of that liberal thing. Remember, Obama likes to do this dodge and deflect and everything. It's a liberal mindset. So maybe it just reached the collegiate level at Harvard. I mean, I really don't know. But I found the study to be consistent with what I always believed and what I promote and the stories that we do. And we're going to talk about one of them in just a second that's going on now. But this just seems to be a common thread about Kentucky being so corrupt. And since we've talked about Kentucky being ranked as one of the unhappiest states, we've talked about Kentucky being one of the worst run states, we've mentioned all of these things in recent weeks, according to all of these different studies around the country, this just fit right with the program to prove this is why. Because the liberals run Kentucky, and the liberal agenda is why we rank so low everywhere, and Louisville ranks at the bottom in most every category. I don't think there's
so
a way
Harvard
to...
So does Harvard state in this story that they have a solution to this issue, or are they proposing solutions, or are they just being...
No. Well, you know how that goes. Nobody proposes solutions. They present a problem, let you try to figure out a solution. You know, so no, there's been no solutions offered. But it was interesting that the peers, if you will, in the media, it's interesting that the media peers are the ones who ranked us, or part of the reason we ranked at the bottom in this particular study, considering these liberal media are the apologists who hide all of the malfeasance and protection. So it's just kind of, it's the hypocrisy in a way, but it also just proves what we've known all along. Even our media is biased here, so that's another way to look at it as well. Would you agree with that?
It is.
Well, you're on the phone, man, so stick around. I'm going to leave the lines open, but we're going to take the bottom of the hour break. I'll leave your line open, Paul. We'll take the bottom of the hour break, come back. I want to get into one story I put out this week. It's the J. Morgan, Greg Fisher lawsuit, and we've been asking the question of why is Ford trying so hard to interject themselves into a lawsuit that Ford Motor Company was never involved in or never named in? We've got the answer for you. We put the story out this week. Stick around. We'll talk about that when we get back. You listen to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Crazy from time to time. You know, I'm sitting here going through my notes and stuff over this whole Harvard study during the break, and I'm like, wow. I mean, truthfully, is there anything more obvious to anybody in Kentucky, you know, of what the problems are here? Really, truthfully. And Harvard had to back it up. And I kind of liked where Paul went with that. You know, talking about, you know, so Harvard creates the crooks, and then they say you're crooked. Essentially, that's the way I interpreted what he was saying, and I thought that was pretty interesting. But speaking of crooked, we're going into break, and I told you guys, you know, we've been covering this J. Morgan versus Louisville Metro Mayor Greg Fisher lawsuit for a long time. We've been covering it since the very beginning, and I've been extremely puzzled as to, truthfully, what is going on, why Ford Motor
mail.
Company has decided that they want to interject themselves into this lawsuit. Because, quite frankly, it just really makes no sense to me. Well, we look at this and everything. I finally got what I believe to be the smoking gun. As I mentioned to everybody previously, Ziad Ojakley, we'll call him Z, came into town last Monday for a GLI event, or the Monday of Thanksgiving week. It was really a nondescript event. It was just one of those low-level things you send a flunky for if you decide to attend at all. But the Vice President, Ford's Group Vice President of Government Operations and Community Affairs, Z, came in for this event. Well, what happened previously, and the week before he decided to come in for this, Greg Fisher and his legal team had requested for the third time, they had put in a motion to dismiss this lawsuit for the third time. And for the third time, Judge Mitch Perry rejected their motion to dismiss. So they were left with no options. Judge Mitch Perry said, we're not going to allow the motion to dismiss. I've done ruling on it twice before. We're not going to do this again. Start depositions and discovery. Greg Fisher cannot be deposed in this. And I couldn't understand why Ford Motor Company had decided they wanted to try so hard to help Greg Fisher out of this mess. Well, it turns out there's a lot more to the story. Last year, in 2013, apparently J. Morgan filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Labor. That complaint is the subject of a Freedom of Information Act request, and it is available to the general public, of which I have a copy. In that Department of Labor complaint, you know, the complaint that J. Morgan has against Greg Fisher is essentially a libel slander lawsuit. He claims that Greg Fisher said something that was a lie to Ford Motor Company, which resulted in his, you know, termination. Last year, after he was terminated, J. Morgan filed a complaint with the Department of Labor, the U.S. Department of Labor. Part of that complaint he had to, I mean, in his complaint, he had to set up why he should not have been terminated. Now, Jay Morgan is a well-decorated, if you will, employee of Ford Motor Company. He has received awards, promotions, bonuses, anything and everything you can imagine. But in 2008, Jay Morgan was working for Ford in his Washington, D.C. office when one person he worked with came into his office and was bragging about how he had just bought Ford stock at $2 a share. James T. Young was Ford's Director of Government Affairs, Ford Credit, Tax, and Trade, and the Director of Ford's Tax and Trade Public Policy. During this period in 2008, of course, we all know the auto industry was about to fail. It was failing badly. We had to find a way to save it. James Young was in the meetings with the Department of Energy and the U.S. Treasury. Those were the folks who made the decision to pursue this auto bailout to the tune of billions of dollars to we, the taxpayer. He was part of those discussions. As part of those discussions, James Young knew that we were going to get a government bailout. It's clearly obvious. So he decided to go ahead and take that insider information and buy Ford stock at a reduced rate of $2 a share. He screwed up. It's insider trading information. He made a bundle of money on that. Jay Morgan was required by Ford Motor Company to report that. Jay Morgan had been trained by Ford's own policies and directives. And they went to insider training courses and everything else, the available training. It was part of Jay Morgan's job to be trained on. He knew it was illegal insider trading. He went and talked to a couple of people who said that he had to report him to find out what his obligations were. And then he went to report James Young for insider trading. It's that simple. It's the right thing to do. It's a well-trained employee following the protocol they're taught to follow. We always hear this protocol word today, right? So he does everything the way he's trained to do. So he goes to Ford's Director of Corporate Compliance, James Carroll, to report it. James Carroll then, the Director of Corporate Compliance, James Carroll, decides to go basically tell everybody in the Government Affairs Division that Morgan is starting crap and talking about insider trading. He even went, instead of doing things discreetly like he's supposed to do, he went and told James Young that Morgan had reported him for insider trading. The problem with that is everybody involved in the Government Affairs Division that Morgan worked with were all personal friends of James Young, including Corporate Compliance Director James Carroll. Jay Morgan became the victim of harassment and retaliation because he did what he was required to do by law and by Ford's own policy. There was never an investigation done. How do we know this? Because Jay Morgan was never asked any questions as part of an investigation. He was never contacted about any investigation, and he was a claimant here. A few months after his complaint, he got a new list of classes that his department was supposed to be going to for training. He immediately noticed that the class regarding insider training for his work group were no longer listed on the training course guidelines. So the only conversation he had with James Carroll beyond his initial complaint was a few months later when he went to Carroll and asked him why the insider training courses, the insider trading trainer courses were not on this list. And James Carroll told him that management took that course off the list for a while and would never explain why. So it's clear that somebody knew that this was a serious problem. Somebody knew it. And what makes it totally fascinating is Z out of Jockley, was going around to the whole world openly saying how pissed off he was at Jay Morgan for trying to let everybody know about insider trading. He was pissed off at Morgan for telling the truth. This is Morgan's boss. This is the same guy who fired him, and this is the same guy who came into Louisville on Monday before Thanksgiving to work with Greg Fisher and try to determine how the hell to shut Jay Morgan up and stop this lawsuit once again. This is what's really behind the whole situation with Jay Morgan. This is what brought him to Louisville. It's the only thing I can come up with. There has been no violation of any non-disclosure agreement between Jay Morgan and Ford Motor Company, to my knowledge. Certainly never been divulged to me. But the only reason that Ford got involved in this whole case to begin with is because Greg Fisher knew about this Department of Labor complaint. The only way he could have known about this Department of Labor complaint was to get it himself from Ford. He, Greg Fisher, invited Ford into this by trying to make public the non-disclosure agreement that was made between Jay Morgan and Ford, and Ford's argument is now part of the public record. Therefore, the non-disclosure agreement is null and void if Jay Morgan chooses to make it so, and Ford Motor Company will be back on the hook. See, Greg Fisher only has one question to answer, folks. He only has one question to answer, the most important question of the deposition that he'll ever get. Did you make this particular statement to Ford, to any Ford Motor Company employees whatsoever in regards to Jay Morgan? He has to say yes or he has to say no. He can't Gruber it. He's not going to be allowed to Gruberize it. My term. You're welcome. It's a yes or no question. Did you say this, yes or no? If he says yes, he said it, Greg Fisher is on the hook for a multimillion-dollar lawsuit for libel and slander. If he says no, then Ford Motor Company, apparently, based on what I can see from the Department of Labor request, I would assume the non-disclosure agreement they have with Jay Morgan has to do with the fact they didn't want this information out there. But if Ford Motor Company told Jay Morgan that they terminated him for these statements and Greg Fisher says he didn't make the statement, then we have a situation. One of the two committed perjury. If Ford Motor Company made these charges up, then no matter what settlement they made with Jay Morgan, just went out the window. It becomes a multi-million-dollar case against Ford Motor Company. And, of course, once it gets to that level, then all this insider trading will become a big deal. And quite frankly, it should be a big deal now. Why mainstream media will not report about this is beyond me. I have no clue. It's fascinating. But that's the real deal and why Ford was here, because they got caught. And now that we have the documents, I think we can definitively say, at least in my opinion, that that's why Ford got involved. They didn't want the whole world to know about these insider trading allegations that they clearly have covered up since 2008. They used some people with Ford, used that information to illegally purchase stock and make a fortune on it based on insider trading, and those people should be in jail if it's proven true. But there was never an investigation. There was never anything, and it can be. Now, what's really interesting here, is just how deep this goes. So Z comes into Louisville. How do we know he came in for this? Because last week, a week after he came into Louisville for this so-called GLI event, Greg Fisher team decided to file an appeal against Judge Peary's decision to deny their motion to dismiss their case. It's kind of unheard of the way that they did this. But the reason is County Attorney Joel Frocht, who should not be in any way, shape, or form involved in this case because Greg Fisher is being sued as a private citizen for a libelous statement, not as the mayor of Louisville. But our tax money is being paid. They're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. It won't surprise me if they reach $1 million on this easily. Seriously, if they're not there already, because they've been trying to deny justice for a year already. But they're doing it through county attorneys like Joel Frocht. Joel Frocht had his own law firm, and his partner, his managing partner and owner, business owner, was none other than Irv Mays. Herb Mays is an appeals court judge. You don't think they're not trying to get this to an appeals court for a reason? You better think again. Remember, we told you a minute ago, all of this is interlocking Democratic politics. That's the way it works here. And this is no exception to that. But we'll get into the Herb Mays deal a little bit later. We'll have quite a few things about Mays and Frocht and everything else you guys really need to know. But we're not going to do that right now. But what's really amazing here, and here's all the players that are involved in this, and that's why it looks like the biggest scandal in the world and the biggest cover-up with insider trading that included Ford Motor Company management employees profiting off of the auto bailout by pre-purchasing Ford stock knowing that it was going to happen. Current Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Commerce, Bruce Andrews, just happened to be one of J. Morgan's bosses, when all this went down. Bruce Andrews' wife, Dedham Nisanchi, you guys may be familiar with that name, because Dedham Nisanchi just resigned as Chief of Staff at the Securities and Exchange Commission just a couple months ago. She was also a former director for the Senate Banking Subcommittee on Securities, Insurance, and Investment during the time all of this went on. Haley Stevens, you guys may have heard her name because she is now associated with the BEAM initiative, the so-called worker training facilities that are supposed to be done around the state that created this whole mess and nobody is doing. But Haley Stevens was sent here to Louisville. Bruce Andrews is the one who asked Greg Fisher to hire her for the BEAM initiative so they could keep an eye on what's going on all the way up to national level. And all this was done. And as soon as all these wheels got into place, J. Morgan was terminated. I'm telling you, folks, there's a big scandal here, and it's going to get a lot deeper. Paul, you with us? Okay, we lost Paul. But I tell you, this is going to get a lot deeper. This is what Ford has been trying to hide. This is what they've been trying to hide. They didn't want anybody to know about the alleged illegal insider trading because they did not do what they were supposed to do by law. And the people who were in a position to hide it and protect it did their job. Bruce Andrews, Dedham Nisanchi, you know, all of these people, Ziada Jackley, James Young, James Carroll, even Mark Fields. At the end of this month, Mark Fields takes over as the CEO of Ford Motor Company. He is the COO, the chief operating officer, and has been for years. He was a COO during this whole period. Z reports directly to Mark Fields. When Z was made aware that there was an insider trading claim, was Mark Fields told about it? Z has an immediate obligation to tell Mark Fields, the current COO and soon to be CEO at the end of this month when Alan Mulally leaves. Was Mark Fields informed? If Mark Fields was informed and there was no investigation done, Mark Fields is aiding and abetting. Ford Motor Company has some serious, serious jail time, felony offenses to answer for. Fields was the face and brains behind Ford at that time and has been since. If he was informed, we know why they want to shut Morgan up and why they're so desperately trying to keep this from getting out in the open. Greg Fisher brought Ford into this. I can assure you Ford Motor Company is not happy with Greg Fisher in any way, shape, or form because he's dumb as rocks. Greg Fisher could have conceivably, at this point, jeopardize the future of Ford in Louisville when that opportunity arises again. We barely survived the last chopping block. Greg Fisher brought him in. As dumb as he is, I'm glad he did. Because without this, there's no way of telling if this case would have ever been looked at seriously by any court and if J. Morgan would have ever got his day in court. And he most certainly will at this point. This story's not going to go away. We're going to out everything. But if Mark Fields was told about this, then that means the cover-up goes all the way up to the top man in the company. How many people were illegally buying Ford stock based on insider trading at that time, if these allegations are true? if Mark Ford was not notified, then Ziad Ojakley and all the flunkies are the ones behind trying to intimidate, harass, and starve Jay Morgan out, if you will, and trying to help Greg Fisher in this lawsuit because they're trying to cover their own ass. Mark Fields has been sent an email and given the opportunity to answer. There has been no response. Ford Motor Company has been contacted. Z was contacted and asked for a meeting while he was in Louisville. Refused to meet and did not want to correspond and answer or say anything. At least we got some sort of an answer from him. Folks, we've talked many times about how government corruption works. Harvard study said that Kentucky is the second most corrupt state. We've been told that we've got the fifth worst run state government. If the insider trading allegations that were put in the Department of Labor complaint by Jay Morgan, and this is publicly available, folks, publicly available, you can get it yourself, are true, we're the most corrupt state in Kentucky. Ford came here to try to shut Jay Morgan up. They're doing this by using Greg Fisher as the front man, which tells me there may be more corruption in this state than we know. Because we're not talking about just the auto bailout and everything else that Ford might have benefited, some of these Ford employees might have benefited from through illegal insider trading, felony charges that result in jail time, if the allegations are true. What about the hundreds of millions of dollars that Ford has been given out of our tax money right here in this state? The hundreds of millions of dollars that we essentially were blackmailed and bribed into giving them just to keep LAP open. Was that above board? What were the payoffs there? Because this brings into question the entire relationship with big corporates and big people like Ford Motor Company here in Kentucky. This lawsuit has to go forward. And at this point, if there was a way to do it, and I don't know which way to do it, I would really strongly suggest to Jay Morgan, his attorneys, and everybody else involved in this whole fiasco on his behalf, get this into federal court. You've got to get it out of Kentucky. A year later, thousands and thousands of dollars spent on legal fees, I assure you, because it's not cheap. And they haven't even got the first question asked in a deposition. It's disturbing as hell. It really, really is. So I hope that Jay Morgan and his legal team turn up the heat. And we are going to out Bruce Andrews and all of the other people involved in this, including and up to CEO, or soon-to-be CEO of Ford Motor Company, Mark Fields. And if it goes above that to Bill Ford himself, then we'll nail Bill Ford. But we're going to give you guys every bit of information we've got, and we'll put that out in our next article, and that should come out sometime next week. But these are very, very serious things, very, very serious allegations. Fourth most corrupt state. All of these things are disturbing. All of these things should be looked at. And I tell you, mainstream media is still dropping the ball. The liberal media here in Kentucky even says that we're the most corrupt state in the country. According to the Harvard study, that's how they got their information. And this is the same liberal media that covers these kind of stories up about the Ford and the Jay Morgan and all the other things. They aid and abet. You want to know why we're most corrupt? Because nobody brings sunshine or asks the stories. Here at Louisville Politics, we do. That's our job. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, I'll be back at 7 o'clock, same time, same channel. Make sure you tune in then. We'll try to get into a little bit. I tell you, I kind of want to get into the Obamacare testimonies. I've got a real interesting, you know, for lack of a better word, push poll. And that's all it can be. Coming out of Bloomberg is a Bloomberg political poll that's handicapping the 2016 presidential race. So we'll probably get into some of that tomorrow night as well. You know, so tune in tomorrow night. We'll get into a whole bunch of things. In the meantime, folks, have a great night. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you then. Take care.